Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
That's your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and my should be my co-host along with me, Kirsten Milliken. Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio, our topic, the real life of an ADHD mom. Call this actually reality radio if you want. Today is August the 29th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's see, with us today in our virtual studio is Terry Maitland, and we're going to get into the show in a second because it's very, very exciting. I think a lot of you are going to be really kind of amazed. Terry is an ADHD professional in her own right, but we're going to talk about some of her own dealing as an ADHD mom, which I think will surprise you. She's got some absolutely amazing tips, and you're going to understand why she's good at what she does, because not only has she read the books and done all that kind of stuff, but she's actually figured this out on her own. So before we get into all that stuff, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing okay. I'm excited about today's show. It's we've got this show. We've got a whole bunch of shows related to the space that's going to follow. That's going to really kind of back this thing up, which is good. But today we're going to get down in the weeds and get down into some details and show people what some strategies look like. And I think some people are going to be real surprised. So I think it'll be great.
Terrific.
Let's see. Let's go through our announcements real quick. As a reminder, many people want to know how they access the show. And most don't realize that you can just dial in when the show is being played live at 8 p.m. On Wednesday nights by dialing 646-652-4409. Just because you dial in doesn't necessarily will pick on you to ask a question. You actually have a prompt when you dial in. You can hit 1 if you want to ask a question, or you can just be silent. You can also access the show off of our homepage at attentiontalkradio.com or off of our Facebook page, which is a real robust experience because you can get access to archive shows, upcoming shows, listen to the show live, sign up for our newsletter, write on our wall, and
among
yeah. You what?
Participate.
That's right. But that's at Facebook.com. And by the way, you do not have to be a Facebook member to access that page. Also, one of the things, if you don't like going to those things, but you want to know what our show looks like, you can go to that page and sign up for our newsletter, and twice a month we will email to you a list of our upcoming shows and some other little goodies and announcements that are going on in the radio world. And also, as a reminder, if you haven't done so, the CHAD conference is around the corner in November 8th through the 10th in San Francisco. Go to chadd.org for more information on that. And then also stay tuned to our September 12th show. We're going to be doing a promotional show on it. We're going to have the CHAD chair on talking about it. But we also have interviewed several of the speakers, featured speakers that will be there, and we're going to play excerpts on it to talk about some of the things that they'll be covering in their either keynote sessions or breakout sessions or whatever. So I think that's all the announcements. Kirsten, you want to run through Terry's bio so we can get into things?
Absolutely, I do. Terry Maitland's a psychotherapist, a consultant, writer, and a coach who specializes in ADHD. She's the author of Survival Tips for Women with ADHD and has a special interest in women with ADHD and parenting the ADHD child when are both parents also have ADHD. She's a nationally recognized speaker on ADHD and served on the ADA Professional Advisory Board after serving many years on the board of directors and president as well. She's also the immediate past CHAD coordinator in her area in Michigan. And she's got a long bio here. She's a senior certified coach through the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching. That's a lot. A lot of ADHD. You're surrounded by it, Terry.
Welcome. Well, welcome formally to the show, Terry.
Well, thanks, Jeff, and thanks, Kirsten. It's so great to be here, and I appreciate being invited today. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, I want to kind of tee this up. You know, Kirsten ribs me so much because I harp on the show we did with Dr. Barkley last March, but there's so much in his executive function deficit disorder construct that really makes some sense to me. One of the things that we talked about towards the end of the show is think of the ADD brain as two parts, the back half, which is knowledge, and that's what you get kind of when you go to school, but the front part, the prefrontal cortex, is the execution of that knowledge. And, you know, Kirsten, for a long time, I always like to say there's two types of schools. There's the schools that we think of, and then there's the only one school of experience, and that's the school of hard knocks. And if you're really good, you can actually get your degree in the school of hard knocks, which is you got to fail forward. It's nothing but try it and getting beaten up and keep trying it again. And you know, I think today is going to be really illustrative of Terry, who's gotten her degree from the school of hard knocks. From failing forward. Any comments before we start questioning Terry Kirsten?
I don't have any. I'm looking forward to it. I like the what you just said, failing forward. So moving forward always.
Yeah, so there's some things on here, and I know I'm going to be leading Terry a little bit on these because we talked about some of this, but I think you're going to be interested. So, Terry, can you tell us first about you have a two adults rule when you were home with your kids. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think I want to just preface that by saying that as women and as moms with just regular, you know, moms and women, we're taught at a very young, very early age that we're supposed to be able to handle parenting, taking care of a home, working, whether it's, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom or working outside of the home, handling holidays and meals and all this sort of thing. We're supposed to be able to do it with ease and with pleasure. But when you throw in ADHD into the mix as a parent, as a mom with ADHD, taking care of a kid or two or three with ADHD, then I think all the rules change. And so one of the things I want to start off with is by saying that this is a different situation for us who have ADHD as moms and who are taking care of children, whether they have ADHD or not. So in our case, we have to change the rules. And one of the rules that I suggest we change is when our kids are very young, and you know that with young children, even if they don't have ADHD, it can be very trying, very difficult to manage. So the rule I made for myself was to almost always, as much as possible, have a second adult in the home with me, because my kids were just a little over 2 years apart in age. Both were extremely, extremely active and impulsive, one with very severe ADHD. And in order for me to survive and to be as competent of a mother as possible, I realized I needed that extra help, that extra pair of hands. So I almost always, or I tried to, have another adult in the house with me as I was taking care of my kids.
Terry, I love that. One of the things that is not all the great solutions are not always on the top 10 list, and what you just described is not, I don't think I've seen it on anybody's list as something to do, but in reality, it really makes a lot of sense. You can't do it all at one time, and you do need to be attentive to the kids, so having another adult in the house really, really, really makes some sense. Now, I'm sure that you've had some friends and some family, but when you couldn't find them, how did you find another adult to be with you?
Well, first let me clarify that not always were they, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old adults.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy if I could find, an older high school student, a college-age student. A lot of it was through word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, a lot of these people I found from the local want ads, people looking for work, domestic kind of work. And early on, you know, you learn a lot of lessons, and that's what this whole segment, I believe, is about, is how do you find the right person? What kinds of questions do you ask? Is this the right match for your child? So my one suggestion would be don't just hire somebody right off the bat. Give them a trial of, you know, maybe a week and see if it's a good match for you and your kids and this person.
And what I'm hearing is if you're looking at the one ad, in many situations you actually would, if you needed to, you would actually pay people to be in the home with you, kind of like a babysitter, only the two of you were there because it was necessary just to keep the house calm and get things done.
Exactly, and to maintain my sanity.
You know, it's funny. Go ahead, Kirsten.
I want to hear a little bit more about practically. I've heard you say, you know, it's got to be a good match for your kids, but you may also be looking for somebody to do some of the stuff around the house. So when you're talking about having two adults in the home, you're not talking about them just taking one role or the other. You're really looking at maybe sometimes as the mom you need to move away from your parents because you're too overwhelmed, whereas other times you may want somebody else to be handling all the domestic, cooking the dinner or whatever, so that you can spend time with your kids.
Well, most of the time the person that I brought in did not cook. There came a time where my child with ADHD was extremely picky. And I, you know, when you have what I call a special needs kind of child, which mine was, then the other child can become neglected. So I use this person a lot to pay attention, take over the role of hanging out with my so-called special needs child so that I could spend time with my non-special needs child, because you don't want to have the whole family fall apart because one child is so needy and so, you know, so challenging. So a lot of this, too, was to free me up to spend time with my other child.
You know, one of the things, another tip that we have, and I want to kind of talk about this before we go to break, is I know that you talk about floor time, and personally, I've coached several people before that the notion of sitting down on the floor and playing chutes and ladders with their child, it's hard for them because it doesn't stimulate their mind, and if you've got another adult in the room, it enables them to do that. But can you talk about your thoughts on floor time and the research and stuff on the need for floor time?
Sure. Floor time was developed by I think it was a pediatrician or a psychiatrist. I can't remember now. Dr. Stanley Greenspan, who has written a number of fabulous books that I would recommend listeners take a look at. But his theory was that floor time helps the parent and a challenging child. Actually, it probably would work with any child, but it's a way to engage and improve the relationship between the parent and the child by letting the child make choices as to what the activity will be. I mean, so many times, and we do things without really thinking about it, but if you think about, you know, relinquishing the control at times and letting the child take over in a situation that can be fun for the child, what it does is it strengthens the bond between the parent and the child. The child is not being told, okay, we're going to go to the zoo whether you want to or not. No, at this point, the child is going to say, Mom, I'd really like to sit down and play Monopoly. And instead of you enforcing the rules of the game, it's okay for the child to say, well, we're going to change the rules of Monopoly. From now on, you know, for this game, we're going to allow you to have as many houses as you want when you buy a property. So mm-hmm. The whole concept is to let the child take charge, and what it does is it enriches the relationship between the parent and the child.
And am I reading into it? Sometimes by having another adult in the house, maybe they could do some things to take the burden so you can sit down and do it, and or sometimes the other adult could do it. I mean, it's best if you do it with your child, certainly. But sometimes would you have the other adult do that with the child and get on the floor just so that they're interacting that way and feel like they're in charge and communicating?
Sure. And to preface this part again is and I suggest this to just about any parent, especially a parent who has a child with ADHD, we say so many negative things without realizing it. We have so many commands, you know, stop doing that. I want you to pick up your floor. Stop smacking your sister. If you stop yourself and just mentally count how many negative things we say to our child in the course of even 1 hour, you don't have to do it all day, maybe just 1 hour, you will be amazed at how much negativity this child is hearing just in 1 hour. So just imagine what a full day, a full week, a full year, and it builds up and builds up. So when you do these kinds of activities, this floor time, this one-on-one time with your child, it kind of evens out, and you begin to realize, you know, we're missing out on some very important time with our kids.
Absolutely. Well, I need to run to a break real quick. For those that are interested in learning more about Terry or contacting her, you can email her at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at addconsults, C-O-N-S-U-L-T-S.com. You can also go to addconsults.com, and there's a whole host of information there, and there's links to a lot of other programs that she's got going on. I encourage you, there's a lot of resources there. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to ADDCrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Terry Maitland in our virtual studio. Before the break, we were talking about her two-adult role, the need for floor time, and having that adult there to support, and then in the useful observation of watching the negative comments that you might make with your child for over an hour's period of time as a means to realize and be more positive. Terry, God, we've got so much material to kind of cover today. The one thing that I do want to touch with is you have a tip that I think is going to floor everybody. And, Kirsten, the notion of writing into your IEP with your school that they don't bring homework. Now, you've been there. That makes some sense to me, but it amazes me that people can do that. From your experience, have you ever seen anybody trying to get an IEP where it states the child is not to bring homework home?
I've suggested that many times in my presentations, but I have not heard back on whether that's worked for other people, but it did for me. But let me explain that my child with ADHD also has some other special needs that really impact how she learns in school. So I didn't get much of a fight, although I had never heard of anybody else doing this. So it was a risk, but I was willing to take it because at that time, I was falling apart. You know, when you are taking care and raising a child with ADHD and you as a mom have ADHD, it is extremely, extremely challenging, very hard. And to try and get her to do homework every night was impossible. At that point, I even tried bringing in a tutor, which is another thing I recommend if you can't do this IEP, which I'll get into in just a second. But it can be just way too much for a parent with ADHD to handle when their child is bringing home homework. Sometimes it's 10 minutes of homework, sometimes it's 2 hours. And my philosophy is, as a psychotherapist, that the most crucial, the most important thing in my life as a parent is to develop a good relationship with my child, because that's the basis of everything in life for that child to grow up with a healthy outlook and healthy self-esteem. So when she was bringing home homework and I was forcing her to do it, our relationship exploded. So that's when I came into the IEP and explained, you know, this is not working. It's more important for us to be happy, to have some downtime together. She's worked so hard throughout the day. A child with ADHD works 10 times harder than a non-ADD child to get through the day. And that's also why you see kids exploding when they get home. They've been trying to behave all day in school, and then you as the parent get to the backlash of that. When they relax and they just fall apart. So the whole concept of requesting that the IEP state that all homework and school projects be done during school hours was pretty novel, and I was lucky in that they accepted it, and it was part of her IEP all through school from the time she was probably first or second grade.
Wow. Kirsten, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, my son is going into fourth grade now, and we've had some sympathetic teachers in the past, but this past year he had a great teacher. But he was coming home with a lot of homework, and often Oliver was behind, and so he wouldn't just come home with homework. He'd come home also with schoolwork, and he would come home with it on the weekend. And we did that a couple times, and it was torture.
And I finally wrote a note back to his teacher one day, and I said, Oliver did not do his work. I let him not do it. I think that the weekend and after school is time for him to relax and play. If there's a problem, you can contact me, but, you know, I made the choice. So, and she didn't say anything. They let it go, and that's how the rest of the year continued. So, you know, he doesn't have a formal IEP, but he's recognized as having, you know, some challenges. He's got some things in place. So, and I love that because, it, like you were saying, it took away his stress at the end of the day. It took away the stress in our relationship because I had to enforce this thing that school wanted him to do. So I just think it's a terrific idea.
What I like about it, it takes Terry, what really is interesting to me, the mere fact that you got it through the IEP, I'm going to come back to that, but the notion of it improved your relationship, which ties back into that floor time and interacting with your kids in a more positive way, that just makes all the sense in the world to me. As I hear you tell that story, that you were able to do this, to go to the schools and say, you need to write that in, sounds to me that you had to be a little vigilant and a little forceful because the schools probably wouldn't accept that easily. Can you talk about that a little bit just so that our listeners can get a sense of how easy or difficult that is or what it took for you to enforce it?
First of all, the parent has to be the expert. On the other hand, parents are not the expert when it comes to education. We weren't, you know, trained as teachers, most, you know, the majority of us. In my case, after a while, I saw that the schools were being extremely difficult with me. They were fighting me, and so what I did was I engaged the help of a parent advocate. And I gained the reputation of being a so-called angry mother, which to this day bothers me. I'm not an angry mother. I am a concerned mother who advocates for my child. And a lot of parents are afraid to push the envelope with the schools. I'm not quite sure why. I think we still bring the mindset as children that we're afraid of crossing authority figures, even as adults who might be very accomplished in their fields, but we still carry that feeling. So I'd suggest that if you're trying to get the school to do things like putting this in the IEP, to get a parent advocate and help you know, with getting this done. For me, because I had the advocate there, it was fairly easy to do. But I also need to explain that not all kids with ADHD qualify for an IEP or even a 504.
Yep.
So like Kirsten was describing, she had to do it on her own, and that may be the case for a lot of parents listening to this call.
And I love how you frame that out, Terry, because I know one of your other philosophies is break the rules to make them work for you. And effectively, what I'm hearing is you're breaking the rules. You're going and say, listen, advocate, listen, this I need help. Maybe with the child to do some homework before they kind of come home, but you got to break those things to work for you, so you have that relationship. So that, I think it's very well demonstrated there. But can you just speak to your general philosophy, the need to break the rules to make it work for you, and maybe how that helped you?
Yeah, and that's where I earned the title, you know, Angry Mom.
Yep.
But my philosophy number one is to take care of my child in the best way possible, so that she can succeed in life. That means at times that she is not going to fit in what is expected of her in all situations of life, whether it's school, you know, being out socially, you know, anything. A lot of kids with ADHD don't fit in, so we have to break the rules in order to make things work for her or our child and ourselves as moms with ADHD. I do it all the time. So an example might be like at the home. We're expected to teach a child to sit down and eat dinner with the whole family. You know, how many articles have you read in magazines that
yep.
the family that eats together
yep.
is happy together? Well, guess what? It doesn't work when you have kids with ADHD. No matter how hard you try, for many of our kids, it is impossible to get your child to sit down or be quiet or not start flinging food or causing fights with their siblings. So I broke that rule very early on, by number one, allowing my daughter to stand up while she was at the table instead of trying to force her to sit down. She absolutely could not do it. And then when that became difficult, she really wanted to eat in another room of the house. Well, you know, I would have, you know, parents would have been horrified to know what we were doing at home with allowing our kids to do such things. Again, we broke the rule. We let her eat in a small room because small rooms seemed to calm a lot of kids with ADHD down, and she wanted to have the TV set on, which was a distraction. by distracting her by watching TV, she was able to eat. Without the TV on, she was not able to eat. It was like a calming sedative almost for her to be able to have a meal. So we've broken many, many, many rules in that way, you know, whether they're rules that are handed down by society or family or friends. You have to do what's right for your child and not listen to what other people are telling you. They don't know your child as well as you do.
What an ADD-friendly house. When you were talking about the TV being on, I can't tell you countless people that I've coached, and it's amazing to have white noise in the background. It enables them to focus or do some stuff. And what I'm hearing is the TV has got some white noise and some visual allows her to kind of focus on eating even in different situations. So we need to run to a break real quick. Again, for those that want to contact Terry, if you go to, you can send her an email at terry@addconsults, consult.com, or just go to ADD Consults. Again, there's a wealth of information. There's some links there to some other programs that she's got. So with that, we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hi, we are talking today with Terry Maitland, who is a mom with ADHD and has a child with ADHD. And Terry was giving us some of her helpful tips about how to manage that situation. Terry, one of the tips that I like is around school lunches. And I have two kids, one who has ADHD and one who doesn't. But one of my kids wants the same lunch every single day. That's easy. My other child, on the other hand, can't decide what he wants and usually comes home with half of everything left over. Tell me about your idea that you've come up with.
Both of my kids were extremely picky eaters. They both refused to eat sandwiches, and that's almost unheard of, but that was the case with me. So not a good match for a mom who hates to cook and who has executive functioning issues, too, and planning and putting things together, and children who are picky. So what I discovered was that my kids really enjoyed having small little varieties of things that you can throw in their school box. There's something called a bento box, which the Japanese apparently developed, where you pack small items. To Americanize it, what I did was I would pack like a container of yogurt or a stick of that string cheese, a piece of bread, and to keep them interested in eating, I might have cut it out in a fun kind of shape with two eyes cut out, and I'm putting like grapes in the holes, anything to make it interesting, one piece of fruit, a healthy dessert. So instead of, packing a sandwich, which I knew they wouldn't eat, or even those snack, whatever they're called, that you can buy in the supermarket with the crackers and a slice of beef, they rejected all those things, was to just have a supply in the refrigerator and in the cupboard of a variety of small little items that you could just throw in the box and make it simple on yourself. And they seem to really enjoy that.
I love the way that you kind of broke that down and kind of met your kids where they were to kind of put that together. And I know that for dinner time, just to kind of like expand on that a little bit, you got some picky eaters and you've got some different stuff. And if I recall, you actually put together like food lists and options in kind of different way, which is kind of a weird, it's almost like a menu, if you will. But you do a couple other things. Can you talk about that as well? Because it's not just lunches. Managing this at mealtime is a big deal, and you do a few different things for dinner. Could you share that with them?
Sure. And again, this comes from being a mom with ADD, and one of my biggest challenges has always been planning and putting on a meal. And then you throw in the mix, you know, two kids who are picky and who don't
yep.
like the same thing. So one of the things I did was I made a meal, I can't remember what I called them, but what I did was I took two paper plates and I bought one of those metal fasteners.
Yep.
And you punch a hole in the middle of the two plates and then you fasten the two plates and you cut out a hole, like a square, on the top paper plate so that you can spin it and underneath on the bottom plate, you have things written down like hamburger, chicken,
yep.
All different options that you work with the child to write down, like things that they will tell you that they like to eat. So, you know, let's say it's a hamburger. So that all these items are listed on the bottom plate. On the top plate are other items like side dishes, healthy side dishes like green beans or
uh-huh.
baked potato. And then you have the child or the children take turns to spin the plate so that one option on the top matches up with an option on the bottom. Therefore, you are now taken out again of the equation of being the one in charge who's forcing these things onto the kids. Anytime that the kids have the ability to make choices, life is easier. So
yep.
it's always in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, have a plan.
Yep,
have
absolutely.
A plan ahead of time. So this was something that worked well for us for a while, and it put the kids in charge, and it gave them options of things that were okay with me, too.
And work for both ways. I absolutely love it. And, Terry, we probably should have a sequel to this because we still have a ton of material to cover, and I've only got about 90 seconds left. But one of your tips that I'd like you to kind of comment in closing, if you will, because I think it's fascinating, and that's for working moms, the notion of don't come straight home, to go somewhere first. Can you just share with everyone your thoughts on that?
Yeah, moms with ADHD are exhausted. And we're spending 8 hours of our day outside working, and then we're coming home to the most important part of our day, which is taking care of our family. So what you want to do is replenish the energy, the time that you need to be there for your family. So what I advocate for is for moms to stop at a Starbucks or a coffee shop on the way home for maybe 15 minutes to catch your breath, get a little snack, and to take a deep breath so that you now can get back in the car, come home, and be there for your kids. Now, if there's no coffee shop on the way home, you can simply say to the family, always ahead of time, though, I need 15 minutes and, you know, go to the bathroom and just relax and read the newspaper or take a quick hot bubble bath, and then you'll be ready and prepared to take on the rest of the day, which is the most important day of your
day. Terry, I just absolutely love that tip because most people don't necessarily think about it. But I know, you know, one common thing with ADDers is transitions are difficult. And you're actually building in transition time with that and recharging your jets, just like you said. And, you know, for some, it might not be going to a coffee shop. I've worked with people who just went to a park or a brisk walk or just did something to kind of, like, re-energize themselves, give them an opportunity for transition. And then you're so much fresher to go back and deal with the house when you're at your best as opposed to walking when you're at your worst. And so, Terry, this is, I got to tell you, this has been absolutely spectacular. These tips are wonderful. I want to point out to everybody, these are not necessarily tips you're going to find on the top 10 list of obvious solutions, but after listening to Terry, they're obvious to me that there's something that's worthwhile for her. And some of you, you know, take these, make them your own, change them or whatever, but very, very useful tips, very, very practical from a professional who has experienced it, feels your pain, and figured this out on her own. So, Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
It's been fun. And again, everybody, to learn more about Terry, go to addconsults.com. If you've got questions, go to Terry. I mean, email her at terry@addconsults.com. And with that, everybody, we'll catch you next week for another great episode of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.